Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters edition of the Rewinds. You know, last kind of late summer, right around this time, late spring, I should say, early summer, we did like three or four of these Vikings Rewind shows. You guys were really into them. This week, we're going to do Chris Carter, and then next week, we're going to go Denny Green. And then before the season starts, maybe one or two we'll do in August, too, just to get the feeling back for the season and whatnot as we come into summer. But, yeah, Chris Carter is the topic. Obviously, you know, he's one of the, you know, probably the best hands, or at least right up there with the best hands in the history of the NFL, and he didn't use any kind of stick-em like that Todd Christensen from the Raiders and many other people, I should say. It's kind of fun, though. You know, you start to do a little research and you kind of forget about stuff, or you remember just a little fact. And then you're like, oh, that's right. And that kind of happened when I was looking at his Ohio State career. And, of course, I definitely remember him at Ohio State. And I remember the one-handed catches and all that. But I really remembered him, and I didn't know why. Oh, he's just a good player. You know, I watched a lot of college football even when I was a kid. But then all of a sudden I saw a couple of Gopher games like, oh, that's why I remember him even more than I thought. So, yeah, obviously just getting him here was kind of crazy from Buddy Ryan giving him his nickname about the touchdown. So we're going to break down his career, mostly, of course, as a Viking. He's Aaron. I'm Chris, and we're gonna discuss this stuff. Chris Carter, man, CC Hall of Fame Vikings wide receiver, man. He had such a great influence on Jake Reed and Randy Moss and a lot of younger receivers, and him and Jerry Rice battling in some of those years to be the best wide receiver. Obviously, a lot of people think Jerry Rice, pound for pound, is the best. Route for route, maybe I should say. But we're going to get into it in just a second. If this is your first time listening to this here Vikings podcast, welcome. It streams live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk or Rope a Dope if you don't want to download the show there, or if you listen to the browser. You can find it on a variety of platforms, okay? You can find it on the Rope a Dope Radio podcast on iHeartRadio, Player FM, Apple Podcast. We're also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, which can be found in a whole lot of places. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtrue.com. It's football, basketball, football, boxing, everything in between. And we also opened up a page Aaron did a chunk of months ago now called Living in Loserville. It's on Spricker. It's a Spricker page. Living in Loserville. Check it out there. He's got some other stuff, sports-related, some non-sports-related stuff that you may want to check out. One more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV. The plans start as low as $69 a month. Simple pricing, no hidden fees, no annual contract. Of course, you can stream it anywhere on any device. They have the cloud DVR available. And if you sign up for the choice package, you get a free year of HBO Max. Okay, let's bring in Aaron to talk about our guy, Chris Carter. I mean, you know, as a Vikings fan, you had Anthony Carter. We talked about that 1987 rewind year where they knocked off the Niners and almost got to the Super Bowl. The closest we've seen them get to a Super Bowl, besides Atlanta, of course. Both those, you know, Darren Nelson. Well, we won't go hash that. You can actually check those out on the rewind. But, you know, AC – phenomenal. You could start to see the wide receiver stuff that we had going on. And once Carter came over, it was like slowly but surely he just blew up. And it's just one of those – it's just nice to have a player where you just kind of see him in purple. You know what I mean? Chris Carter, like I said, one of the best hands ever. He's just a legend around these parts. So I'm excited to get into this here, man.
Yeah, I am too. And, you know, I didn't see him a lot in college, like you mentioned, so I'm going to be listening pretty hard when you talk about that. I have a little bit of, you know, he had a little problems. I don't know. He had some problem at Ohio State. And then he kind of got back on my radar again, maybe late in his days in Philadelphia. But I didn't think anything much of him until he got to the Vikings. And then again, most of us didn't think much when he just first arrived. But then that following season, he just kind of became the player that we all sort of know, and had a lot of things going on there with, you know, Danny coming in and all the other stuff that had happened then. And this is just right when I was starting to get really focused on the Vikings. And so he's just kind of one of those players that just kind of took you for a ride. I mean, those whole got us through high school, college. And so we're, you know, this guy is a lot to say about him. But if you talk about hands, you talk about, you know, work ethic, you talk about leadership, you talk about these type of things you want to see from players. And of course, you didn't get a Super Bowl out of him, but it wasn't for his lack of trying. I thought he, you know, 98, let's, you know, a little too soon to talk about, but yeah, I mean, Hall of Fame player, and you knew it while you were watching him.
That's a good way to put it. You did. You just, you know, we could talk about the touchdowns because that's all he did, right? But I mean, the sideline tippy toes, the third down. I mean, third down. Okay, where's Carter? You know, you could throw it low, you could throw it high. I mean, the amount of in the variety of quarterbacks he had thrown to him too kind of shows you just how good he was to keep putting up these numbers with these, you know, with the variety of quarterbacks. Not that they were all bad or nothing like that. A lot of them were, you know, guys that have kind of already had a career and come here and then just thrived, especially when we got Jake Reed and then obviously when we got Randy Moss. But I do remember him at the Ohio State University. And it's funny, looking through some of his freshman year, he had 41 catches with 648 yards, 8 touchdowns. And that's back when they were on that 9-10 game stuff. So you got to kind of think of it there. But there was this one game that stands out now when I look back, you're like, oh, and that actually in 1984 was this his freshman year. He had actually tied the Big Ten and set the Ohio State record for wide receiver. Everybody tied it at that point. But there was his first game for Ohio State. He caught 2 touchdowns, and it was 35-22, September 29th, 1984. With a victory over our Golden Gophers, man. I do remember the Rose Bowl, 9 catches, .171, 1 touchdown, the Rose Bowl. They lost USC. I definitely remember that. That's kind of when he came on my radar the whole way. Like, okay, yeah, that's a dude that was messing us up. And, you know, he went on to have a really storied college career. I was going through this article on profootballhistory.com. And, you know, he was first team All Big Ten, Associated Press, yada, yada, yada. His junior year in 86, 69, it says 69, catching 69 passes. That's a weird way to put it. It's usually just goes right to that. But 11 touchdowns and 1,100 yards. That's pretty crazy. So at that time, you know, he basically was setting all records in Ohio State. He had the reception and the touchdown, 168 receptions and 27 touchdowns. So at that point, it was the record. And there's this quote: as a junior, he got off on the Gophers again, 33-0 shutout, 5 passes, .127, 2 touchdowns. And this Donovan Small, the safety, says he's just tremendous. He's a first round pick. And of course, you know, he actually wasn't a first-round pick. He got picked in the 4th round of the 1987 supplemental draft, like a special draft. Got picked up there, had some issues like you mentioned. And he, you know, did actually produce some numbers. That's for sure. In 89, he got to 11 touchdowns. But, you know, he failed 3 drug tests. I remember them saying later that, you know, it was alcohol and drugs, but it was really wine. So he liked to just sit back. It was the 80s, guys. So, I mean, cocaine and wine, it's not the most crazy thing. But, yeah, dude, Buddy Ryan explaining why he released him at the beginning of the season for Philadelphia, the famous quote, "All Carter does is catch touchdowns." Sorry, I was just trying to – I should have led you better. But it just kind of funny that that's what that's how he got his nickname. From, you know, he actually had produced, but, you know, obviously he had his issues. And so they, you know, we ended up picking him up for $100 off the waiver. And yeah, back then, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I thought that was a dramatic pause. You know, I didn't know much about his, you know, the problems that he had. I know, I remember the quote that you mentioned with Buddy Ryan and all he does is, you know, that's not good enough for you,
yeah,
buddy, but
11 touchdowns,
particularly in today's NFL, that makes zero sense. But you know, you look at his stats, you know, in 89, you know, 605 yards, but 11 touchdowns. So, you know, Ryan had a point, but, you know, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater there. You get 11 touchdowns out of somebody. But, the, you know, there was some problems there with him and Buddy Ryan. And so I could see him moving on now when he got here, Chris. Like, I think we said off air that it was like maybe that right before the first game of the season. I don't think he went through training camp at all. So there was really no, you know, amp up for Chris. I think we just thought, well, let's just see what we can do, see what he can do. And probably
well,
kept
Jerry
him on a
Burns
pretty short
was the coach at the time.
Okay, so it was Jerry Burns.
That's he said, I don't know for sure, but $100 has to rank right up there at the top as the best bargain in NFL history.
Yeah, I would say for a Hall of Fame wide receiver. And this is a guy who just, you know, invented the term catch radius. If you didn't get a chance to watch him play, I suggest going back and looking some of these highlights. But watching him in games where you just, I mean, it was just two or three a game where you just ask yourself, how did he catch that?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, dude. And we had AC, Anthony Carter, for a chunk of time that time, so he kind of blended his way in. And it did take till his fourth season to get to the 1,000, you know, mark. But it even says this in the football history thing that there was only 9 players that year that went over 1,000 compared to 22 or whatever from this last year. So it doesn't – it does kind of – you know, we had a fullback. A lot of times it was either two tight ends – or, you know, in the 80s, early 90s, we were literally running a halfback in, a tailback in, a fullback. That was in the starting lineup. So a lot of this did kind of, you know, play off on that. It does add up. But he did get to 1,000 that 93 year, fourth year with the Vikings. And Roger Craig, just all-purpose. Marshall Faulk, before Marshall Faulk, maybe that's a good way. Quintessential, you know, back for that West Coast system, hence where Denny was from too, Burnsy too. And a lot of people think Jerry Burns had a lot to do with, you know, that West Coast as well as just Walsh getting all the credit. But, you know, he actually sat there and picked the brain of Roger Craig to talk about Jerry Rice and you know, basically changed his whole workout routine. And knowing Jerry Rice is training, you know, on the West Coast at 7 a.m. And he's talking about, I get up, you know, at that time, so I'm done with all my stuff at that time. And like I said, he just went crazy. After that, he went to a bunch of different 8 consecutive Pro Bowls, 8 consecutive 1,000 yards receiving. Just went off, dude. I mean, you get up to 94. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're right, man. You get to 94 and now it really starts rolling. Now, is this is the Warren Moon time, right? When they had Warren and Denny was definitely there. And Warren's the first Viking quarterback that I can remember that, you know, was a great passer. And I'm not saying that, you know, the guys before him weren't great passers, but Warren certainly was in his career before he got to Minnesota, definitely proves that. And he kept it going for a couple of years while he got here, and Chris benefited from that. 94, you know, he's got 122 receptions. I mean, that was unheard of at the time. Now maybe not so much, except for like Michael Thomas, but, you know, 1,256 yards, 7 touchdowns, maybe not as many touchdowns as he would later get. But, I mean, that was the beginning of like the big years. The year before that, 93, you know, he had a pretty good year, but 86 catches for, you know, 1,071 yards and 9 touchdowns. So he's starting to build, but at the same time, from watching him, you could tell that this was a different kind of player, and it wasn't – he had changed his whole, I guess, outlook on the game at that point in time from, like you said, talking to Roger about Jerry and so forth. And it was just a different kind of player, and you're watching it. And at that point in time, there wasn't a lot that was, you know, high class offense on the squad, except for maybe Moon and Carter.
Yeah, because AC was, you know, gone by then. Jake Reed was developing, and we, you know, you just ran, you ran the ball in to, like I mentioned, the fullback and the halfback. You know what I mean? Those both guys got carries, or like we were saying, two tight ends. You're probably not going to get a ton of passes there, and that was the record at that point. Herman Moore set it. So then he was the very next year he did it again. That kind of crazy stuff. Then he got to. It was 1,300 yards, 1,371, and 17 touchdowns. You know, so that was back to that. And that's really when Berman started getting on that. All he does is touchdowns that year where he got to 17. And he had a stretch in 95, two touchdown games in six. Yeah, stretch of five, two touchdown games in six. So five out of six. It was just like, holy cow. And, you know, it was just the feeling. You're just like, okay, it's third and eight, no problem. Just get, like I mentioned, just get the ball to Carter. And obviously, Jake Reed comes on the squad. Moss comes on the squad. He brings him down to Florida and just grinding with them, you know, helping him become, you know, what he turned out to be. And like I said, there's so many one-hand catches and tippy-toe sideline stuff. And how many times just messing around, you know, as a kid, even with my brother, you know, we would just do the – we would set it up third down or, you know, third and goal, and we would do that much like Kirby Puckett and jumping over the fence and all that. It'd be the same thing. It just – we would, you know, twinkle toe our way on the you know, the made-up sidelines. I don't know how many times that I did the Kirby Puckett, jump over a fence, whatever fence I saw, I just do it. In fact, when I took the first tour of Target Center and you get to walk out on the dirt all the way out there, I had to. I didn't care if I was getting kicked out. I'm doing the Kirby Puckett. So that tells you something, dude. When you're like, Carter, let's do that. You know, it's like just saying CC or Carter, you knew exactly what everybody meant.
Yeah, you did. And you continued. Like, that was the thing. Even, you know, in high school football, we were doing that on the sidelines, you know, and we'd say Chris Carter because Moss hadn't quite got there yet. And so, you know, this, everything was Carter before Moss. And, you know, like I said, these terms that we use, like catch radius and possession receiver, and, you know, these type of things, I'm not saying they were invented for Chris, but he certainly was all those things. I mean, third down, like you said, it's just get it near him and he'd make a catch. You know, sometimes it wasn't tiptoe. Sometimes it was sliding to the ground. Sometimes it was going high for a ball. Sometimes it was one-handed. Sometimes it was sideline. It was whatever he needed to do to get the ball. And, you know, I go back and I look, and that one year we were talking about Chris was like, that was Jim McMahon throwing him the ball. And I forgot about McMahon being there before.
McMahon died in the playoffs, dude. In that Giants game, I thought he was dead. He was out.
Yeah, he was. You know, I don't
remember at the end of the game, we're just like, oh, yeah. God, is he going to be okay?
Yeah, I just remember that one of those years it was probably McMahon and Carter going at it. And it's like, well, you know, I don't, you know, I think McMahon did one year here, and it was, yeah, I don't think there was a playoff year or anything. Well, it was a playoff because you said
he
got messed up in the thing. But yeah, I mean, so he didn't.
The Giants.
Until, you know, maybe Culpepper, he never really had a top line quarterback. I mean, Randall had a good year that year, but it was supposed to be Brad Johnson in 98, and Brad Johnson was decent, but we had our thing about Brad Johnson back in the day. He became a better quarterback than he was when he started out. And so he wasn't dealing with the best quarterbacks, but he was helping them all out and just making incredible catches. And, we would emulate him because Moss hadn't got there yet. And he's still kind of, if you're thinking about doing a sideline, you know, catch, you're still kind of thinking about Chris Carter. I think he started the dead leg thing where you just catch the ball and let your legs go dead. And it's so many things. Now, you know, it was kind of, I guess I don't really know what to say about people's opinions of Chris. Like, some people liked him. Some people thought he was a little bit too verbose, or maybe, you know, we've always been fans of athletes who let us know what we think, but Chris was like that, but he
first down. That was a first down, sure. By the way, I'm going to show you that it was a first down.
Yeah. I mean, this guy talked a lot on the field, and But he backed it up, and I guess that's the key, man. As long as you can back it up, you can talk all you want. And you see that from Jalen Ramsey. You see that from anybody who plays well and wants to let you know about it. I don't have a problem with it at all. You scoreboard people or do what you got to do. Chris used to look at the scoreboard on his way to the end zone. That was another thing where he would, you know, check the cameras. That would help him catch passes. So he's kind of an innovator at the position, yeah.
The deep balls, because Moss said that too. He just looked straight, look up right at the last second, and they were so good at putting his hands up at the last second too. He could keep his hands down, Aaron, the whole time, and then whoop, just up, you know.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, Thielen talks about that too, about how that helps him in the NFL, about, you know, hiding your hands until you absolutely need them. Because I think as a receiver, a lot of times you'll run long and you want to get your hands up there. For some reason, your body's telling you to get ready for the catch, and so you're instinctively trying to get your hands up, which only tells the defensive back that the ball's coming. So the longer you can hide it, I mean, strategically, it's a great move. And Carter would do that. He was boxing people out because he was a big guy. What was he, 6'2"?
6'3", 202.
6'3", 202. I mean, that, even now.
Not everybody was that back then, like we see it now, you know?
I mean, even nowadays, 6'3", 202 is a big receiver. So he was big, he was polished, and he was driven, and he could just catch anything. And it's kind of sad now that you don't see the kids that are coming up. But, you know, there's players we saw, like Earl Campbell, I didn't get a chance to watch, except for on highlights and just hear about how great he was. So I guess I don't blame him. But, man, if you want to talk about receivers, Moss and Carter got top five for both of them. You know, I think Moss is the best, but Carter's definitely in the top five, and for me, probably like number three.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely up there. That's for sure. I'm going to play a clip of overtime game with Chicago. He usually doesn't go deep, but this is a 65-yarder. Quadre Ishmael had fumbled. That year they were talking about how he's making a bunch of plays, especially on kickoff, but he had fumbled, kind of let the Bears back into the game.
Ishmael praying for a comeback. Moon, Chris Carter, great leaping grab on fourth and goal. They would go for two, they would get it. 27-24 Vikes. The ensuing kickoff, Nate Lewis, the former Charger, up the gut, dances outside for 52 yards. He's pushed out of bounds. The Bears would get a chance. Kevin Butler, 33 yards away. No good. Well, Warren Moon moving the football. Butler had the chance to tie it and win it in overtime. But then it's Moon to Chris Carter. Carter takes it the distance in overtime.
The Vikings win. I got another one that I'll play. Actually, I'll just play. Shoot, I hit the wrong button. I'll play in a little bit. But I do remember there was a catch against Miami that was just ridiculous. He, like, caught it, went over the top of a defender to score. This was, like, mid-90s, I think 94. I definitely remember that overtime Chicago when I was just looking at it. And then the 2000 year, I actually was lucky enough. I still got the ticket to go to against the Detroit Lions in the Metrodome, second quarter, going for his 1,000 catch. And I think he came in with like 995, 996 or whatever. So they got it out of the way early. I think it was a Monday night or Sunday night game. Maybe, I don't think we were doing Thursday night games just yet. But I specifically remember the first quarter, they're getting close to score. And you're just like, all right, dude, he's going to get a touchdown and break the record. And then the quarter ended. And so they switched sides, and we were on the other side. So all of a sudden, fairly close, we got to see Carter do his thing and set the record. And like you said, some people loved him, some people hated him, or not hated him, but just like, whatever, you know, they don't like the celebrations or whatever. But man, it's just one of the things from a childhood that you'll never forget. And here's the other clip of a couple of Carter calls. It's pretty fun.
Despite Robert Smith's heroics, Vikes go for two. 5 of 6 coming into this game, 2-point conversions. Chris Carter, one-handed grab, Vikes 6 of 7. On this play, 2nd and 9, Cunningham to Chris Carter. He seems to do this week in and week out. Fifth on the all-time touchdown reception list with 86. Watch it and listen to it again.
Amazing.
Got both feet down for the touchdown late in the first half.
First quarter, the Vikings are down 7-0 as the Colts have been giant kills last couple of weeks. Randall Cunningham, oh, to Chris Carter in the back of the end zone. Oh, he does.
Chest touchdown.
Look at the play that he makes, Tommy.
Yeah, look at the replay. Great grab. Presence of mind to get his feet down.
There's three guys around him.
Second and goal from the three. Cunningham, pump fakes. All he does.
Chest touchdown.
Chris Carter, 7.
All he does is catch touchdowns, man. And I got that ticket, and I'm going to wait till retirement to put that on whatever the hell eBay is in a couple decades from now. But I'll never forget that night, just knowing that they're going to get the ball to him enough because he's a possession receiver, so you had Moss, you know what I mean? So you were going to get the ball to him. And when we couldn't go deep to Moss, Aaron, it was like, all right, Carter's going to get us down there, and then we'll see who's going to get the touchdown.
Yeah, that year was like pick your poison. I mean, even Jake Reed could make plays, I guess above average. But, you know, it really brings me back to listening to the old prime time, man, with Jackson and Berman. And that was just an event, you know, 6 o'clock on Sunday, kind of run down all the games for you and with great highlights. So it was nice to hear those guys again. And, you know, Carter was always catching touchdowns at that point in time, so it was always great to see him. You know, his highlights, and there were just so many, Chris. It's just hard. You go through your head, and there's like this Rolodex of Carter stuff that you've seen, and it's hard to just kind of pick one out. But I remember I was at the game, 93 against Tampa Bay at home. I think it was like pretty winter day. I think I went with a couple of friends. I don't remember much about the game because we were just running around doing stupid stuff. But I remember that, you know, he was playing then, and that was a point of just making sure I got to see him on the sideline or see him on the field. And, you know, one of the catches I think I saw he had, I don't remember what year it was, Chris. I know it was Warren Moon, though. And it was a sideline catch, but he was like horizontal to the ground. The only thing touching the ground were the tips of his toes.
Right, yeah.
So the ball was thrown maybe.
Maybe the shoelaces.
5 feet, like 5 feet out of bounds.
Right.
And Chris just caught it, and his whole body was straight. The only thing touching inbounds were the tips of his toes. So he's going down, you know, obviously head first out of bounds. And he caught it, you know, with his hands outstretched. And you just go to yourself, okay, now how do you think to yourself that you're going to catch that ball? And then to go ahead and do it and still get your feet in bounds. I mean, and that just happened time and time again. Maybe not to that extreme, but, you know, touchdown catches, he would always kneel down and point up to the sky. Just great plays again. And I think he wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer, which to me is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's one of the wide receiver has kind of been that way a little bit. It's taken some folks a little while where you're like, really? And sometimes just the luck of the draw when you get in, you know, of course the press is going to go with a Super Bowl champ. Sometimes, you know, even if it's Terry Bradshaw or something like that, you know what I mean? Maybe not the best guy, but he was on a championship team a bunch. So yeah, you're right. That, you know, I don't think we're going to see it as much now, but you do. It isn't that easy for a wide receiver to get in as you think, or some other positions, of course, quarterback and stuff like that. And safeties can be tough too. It's like the first layer of elite, you know, all pro type careers, it's like whoever won for the most part anyway, not like a Randy Moss or whatever, but like it was like whoever won the Super Bowl seems like they got in ahead of him, and then that. And he still ranks 6th in the NFL career regular season receptions with 1,100 in one, 13 in career regular season yards, almost 14,000. 4th in NFL career regular season receiving touchdowns, 130. And then 8th in NFL career regular – that says the same thing. That's weird. 130.
Yeah, and that's – Chris, that's 4 down years, too, to start his career, 87, 88, 89. It kind of started to come on in 19 – well,
yeah, only one solid year. because of that 17 touchdowns.
Right. Well, he had 11 touchdowns in 89, but I mean,
for 11, yeah, right.
You look at his receptions, 5, 39, 5, 27, and then finally in 91, he's got 72. The 45 year was the year he had 11. So imagine if he had just a little more Chris Carter like years for those 4 years. And I mean, he's way up the charts on touchdowns and receptions and reception yardage there.
Yeah. And even looking at this, durable as hell, too. Played six full 16 game schedule, 13 out of 16 years. I mentioned the recorded 8 straight 1,000 years or 1,000 yard. 70 plus 10 season catches. Wow, that's crazy. Had 42 100 yard receiving games. Got named to the NFL All Decade team, of course. And he was selected to the 8 Pro Bowls from 94 to 2001. So yeah, dude, it's just a hell of a career. Obviously, that last year in Miami didn't go that well. Any other items that you want to speak upon when it comes to this Minnesota legend, Chris Carter?
Maybe just talk about some of his contemporaries while he was in the league. I mean, Rice was there to battle him. And, you know, probably had Michael Irvin to compete with. You know,
who else was Bills receiver? Why can't I think of
his Andre name? Rison.
There you go, yep.
Oh, no, but it's the other
no,
Andre.
The, no, the yeah, you're right.
What was his name, man? Dawson. Andre something. No, it was Dawson. That's Andre something. It'll come to me. But I know exactly who you're talking about. But these were the guys in the league at the time. I mean, and it got a little bit more modern as, you know, we started creeping up to the 2000s. But, you know, he was going strong. His last year of double-digit touchdowns was 1999. He had 13. And then it started to go downhill. Andre Reed, that's it. Good call. And there's probably a few more in the league. I guess there's the guys down in Denver that were pretty good with Elway and a number. But I mean, if you look at his contemporaries, maybe Rice was better than him at the time. But yeah, I'm weird about Rice, and maybe we'll do a show about Rice sometime. But you know, he was what he was. I'm not taking anything away from him. But as far as dynamic stuff, I mean, we always go back to that comparison. If you got to play one game against the aliens, I mean, I think I'd rather have Carter and Moss than include Rice. Now, some people definitely will argue with me on that, but as far as just, you know, possession
he's
receiver,
the best route runner.
Carter?
No, Rice.
Rice, probably, yeah. I would say that tactician, like, he's very what's a good word to say? He's just very on point. I guess fastidious is a good word to use, but it's a little too.
Yeah, that's you know, lost you.
Attention
your first
to
one,
detail.
Your first one got me. Tim Brown was around then too.
Sure, Tim Brown. Largent.
That was a little later.
Was good. Yeah. But like, you know, he was the top of the heap
Art
for those
Monk,
years.
Baby. Art I Monk. Liked Art Monk a lot.
You know, Art I'm Monk. Trying to think if there was any in Detroit at the time.
Yeah, it was Herman Moore. Mentioned
yeah, Herman Moore come and gone. Yeah, there's a few guys, but I mean, he was always at the top of the league as far as receivers, obviously, you know, as evidenced by his Pro Bowl appearances. So, I mean, at a time when Minnesota had very few stars, bona fide stars for the Vikings, I mean, Chris Carter was for a good 8 to 10 year span.
Yeah, and then sometimes we had Steve Jordan, too, who got the ball. Reed got the ball. We ran the ball a fair amount. We threw it to our, you know, backs, too, because of that West Coast system. So, and it's going to kind of blend in well for next week because we're talking about this new offensive system after Burnsy and all that. And next week we're going to do Denny Green. And, you know, I don't know if I can play his drum solo because, well, we'll get into that. So, yeah, Denny Green is next week. The guy had, you know, the offensive talent and the draft eye that guy had was phenomenal. No doubt about it. We are very successful with him. Any last words before we shut this puppy down, sir?
No, fun to talk about Chris Carter. Go and follow us on Living in Loserville on Instagram and on the Spreaker page. And we'll talk a little bit about Denny, who came through, you know, get us to the playoffs every year, but never could really go that much farther. And so it'll be an interesting show.
Definitely. We'll be back next Monday. Peace.